Let's move on to the second part of the program. And again, calls are welcome. I'm so glad we heard from Mike today. And the call-in number is 1-888-874-4888. Okay. I was at this amazing event yesterday, and I met lots of wonderful women. It was a vegan lady boss meeting, and I want to bring on someone that I met there who has an organization she wants to talk about, and we'll talk a little bit more about Vegan Lady Boss and a lot of other good stuff. So Rachel Borkowski, and I don't know the connection here, but my first guest name was Bukowski, and my new guest is Borkowski.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Glad to be on the radio. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on short notice. I was just so energized last night, and I'm glad to be able to support all the wonderful things I learned about yesterday.
Last night was amazing.
It was. So tell us about Animal Connection.
Sure. Yeah. Animal Connection started when I was working in the city. I was working commercial real estate, and I was kind of, you know, I became a vegan at that point. So I was just like figuring out what was going on to the animals, and like kind of like when I became a vegan, I felt like so many things like made sense, and like everything in the world just started to surface. I don't know if you felt that way when you became a vegan, but then I completely felt my life and like my purpose switch, and it just kind of became so obvious that, you know, I had to do, like, I just had to live a different life. So I decided to use a platform where you can live at different places in exchange for food and shelter, and I was specifically looking to like be with the animals, since when we grow up, you know, we're not really exposed to any farm animals. All we're exposed to is dogs and cats, and mm-hmm. I really just wanted to get to know the animals. So I found this goat farm in Israel, and like I was obviously a little skeptical because it was a farm, it was a dairy farm, but I didn't know. You know, I didn't know that much about it at the time. So I really just wanted to, it was kind of one of the only experiences I could find. So I said, okay, let me give this a try. And I went to Israel also, because one of the other things that really encouraged me to go vegan was Gary Yourofsky's Best Speech You'll Ever Hear. Have you ever seen that video?
Yes, it's awesome.
Yes, I'm like obsessed with it. It's like he's incredible, and he was in Israel at the time, and the movement was really growing there. So, and I'm Jewish, so I was really drawn to Israel. So, yeah, it was crazy. Like, I went to the farm. I got there at like 11 p.m. It was like literally in the middle of nowhere, and they were like, "Okay, be in the barn at 7 a.m. to like pick up goat poop." So, and I'm like, I grew up in Long Island, so like, you know, like I grew up in the suburbs. Yeah, it was completely different. Like, I was just like,
okay, tell me, Rachel, were you brought up as a princess on Long Island? I know many of them.
Well, you know, not as bad as like a lot of the girls there, but my parents like really loved me, and like, you know, if I like wanted a singing lesson, like they would give me a singing lesson, and it was kind of like at the time, like I wasn't as like grateful for, but like for instance, like everyone had like BMWs, and like I had a RAV4, and I was upset. But obviously, like now looking, and even at the time, I like ended up loving the RAV4, and you kind of realize, you know, just how lucky I was to have a car. Like I was 17, and like my parents gave me a car.
Yeah, totally a princess. Okay.
The Trump administration.
Okay, let's get back to the goat poop, okay?
Okay, back
and
to,
I want
to
say, before you continue about the goat poop, I was talking about microbiomes and gut flora, and it's really important for us to connect with poop, our own poop,
and maybe even animal poop.
Manure.
Yeah.
When it's not contaminated with herbicides and pesticides and E. coli. But I digress. Let's get back to the goats.
Poop is great. Agreed. I love kombucha. Okay, anyways, so basically I'm at the farm. I'm picking up goat poop, and then I have to take out the goats to pasture, and it was actually a really cool experience. I mean, it was actually raining that day. It was my first day, and I basically had to, like, run in the mud with these goats with, like, another woman that was, like, doing the, it's like a live-work program, so you live there and you get food and shelter. So yeah, that was kind of the first day. But, you know, just as I started asking more questions and, like, figuring out what was going on, like, I was like, oh, like, they had sheep there. So I was like, what do you do with the sheep? And she was like, oh, we have lamb once a year. And I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, basically, you know, they, like, eat the animals' babies that are living on the farm. And really just, like, I mean, it was interesting, you know, getting from perspective of, like, you know, she was really trying to, like, point of view, like, I feel like she was really trying to do the right thing, but this is, like, how it works. And then it's, like, when they have to kill the male goats, because the male goats, she told me the male goats get aggressive. Obviously, like, given that fact, I was uncomfortable, but I knew, like, I kind of knew in the back of my mind that there was all these places, like animal rescues, like sanctuaries that rescue animals, not like breed them into captivity. You're able to live there in exchange for food and shelter. And I know when I was trying to find like an alternative experience, I couldn't find anything essentially where the animals were safe. You can only work with vegetables or you can work on farms. So that's when I started working on Animal Connection and just started researching and adding places and developing the website and redeveloping the website. And over the years, I've been to around 20 sanctuaries, and I've also connected over 300 people from the New York and New Jersey area to just local sanctuaries. Like, I've just chartered buses, and I kind of, you know, just started doing all these events. Like, at first, I started doing events to kind of raise money for the site, and it just got really popular. So I was doing the events, and now I'm back on doing the site where I feel like I can just make a bigger impact and connect more people to animals internationally. And that's what I'm up to. And the launch is tomorrow.
Wow. So what does the launch consist of, Rachel?
Okay, so the launch is for anyone listening that wants to come. The launch is on it's on 12 St. Mark Street at V Spot, and it's going to be 7 to 11. There's going to be empanadas. There's going to be magic. My friend is a mind reader, so he's doing a mind reader magic act. It's really special, and there's going to be singing. A bunch of musicians are playing, and animal-themed face painting. And, yeah, and just a lot of people that are interested in helping animals and helping Animal Connection grow.
Okay, so that's Wednesday, October 17th at V-Spot in Manhattan on St. Mark's Street. It's St. Mark's Place. It's a really fun spot, and the owners are very supportive. Well, they're vegan, obviously, but they're also, they have a great space for these kinds of events. So that sounds like fun. Can we just talk about, you mentioned that the solution on this farm in Israel for aggressive male goats was to slaughter them. So what do farm sanctuaries do? They have male goats, and they're not slaughtering them. How do they deal with aggressive male goats?
That's a great question. Well, it's really,
maybe with a little love, maybe a little compassion, maybe with a couple of extra fences.
Pretty much. No, it's like definitely funny when you put it that way. And obviously it's something that's so obvious to people like us that are just vegan and understand. But I guess basically from her perspective, it's kind of like they're trying to, and this is the part that I don't like, is that they're trying to operate a business and, you know, they're using the animals for profit. They're using their bodies for profit. So, you know, essentially like, I'm pretty sure at Sanctuary, they I don't know if this is the correct word, but they, as they do dog and cat, they spay or neuter the goats, so they can't be like they can't like get impregnated. But I think, you know, if there was actually like a family dynamic and pregnancies happening, that it would be an issue, with, let's say, dynamics in the like one barn they lived, you know, in the one area that they all stayed in. So I am not a goat herder. I did leave the farm after a couple of days, but essentially, I mean, the main thing that's disturbing about what's happening to the animals is that their bodies are being used for profit. Their bodies, like, they are slaves. They are fully slaves. They don't want to give us their milk. They don't want us to give us their babies. And yeah, like, the point is that rescues actually rescue the animals, and you feel like, I felt really unsafe because the animals were so unsafe. So if, like, I just wanted to give people the chance to, like, you know, not only connect with the animals and see how wonderful they are, but also give, like, you know, give the animals a chance to live, essentially, and be safe, and also kind of give people a new understanding of animals, because people just don't understand. I think a lot of people, I mean, I think me and you understand, but they don't understand who the animals are. And if they did, like, we understand who our dogs and cats are, then they wouldn't, you know, nobody is on board with someone killing their dog. Right. So, yeah, I think that's really the difference between sanctuaries and non-sanctuaries, that one is profiting and one is just, you know, trying to spread education and save lives.
And I'm not really sure what happened there, but all of a sudden you couldn't hear me. So now I'm talking on my phone. Rachel, are you with us? Oh, did we lose Rachel too? Very interesting. So I wanted to talk about goats and focus a little more on goats now. And a lot of people think that goats are treated better than cows. A lot of people have a more romantic feeling about goats. You know what I mean, Rachel? You're back with us? I can't hear you. Oh, goodness.
I'm here, and I can hear you.
Oh, there you are. I don't know what's happening.
You can hear me?
I think it's a conspiracy.
True. They found us. You can hear me now. Okay, good.
So my question is, when talking about goats, I'm so glad you brought up goats, because a lot of people feel that goats are a kinder alternative when choosing animal milks.
Right.
And you discovered in a brief moment on one little farm that it's not very kind.
Definitely not. And basically, the thing that people, I think a lot of people don't even understand in general, that, you know, that may be the start to something where they're like, oh, goat milk's like nicer or whatever. But really the reality is that animals have to be female goats and female cows. And anyone female, in order to produce milk, has to be impregnated. And they have to figure out something to do with the child. So if it's not profitable for them to keep the child, or they just can't afford it, or whatever the case may be, they're just going to kill that mother's child. So
yeah, it's that simple, isn't it?
It's very simple.
That's simple and not very pretty. All right, let's change the subject to something that I wanted to talk about
that's just so exciting and invigorating and energizing and positive, and I'm
Great. Just flying high.
So let's talk about Vegan Lady Boss. This is an organization that was started by Liz D, who is she's part of the Smarties company. You know, the candy Smarties.
Yeah, she's the co-founder. She's part,
and she founded Vegan Lady Boss, and I've been. They have meetings here in New York City once a month, and now there are groups all over the world that are meeting and organizing, and it's a phenomenal network. And I finally went to my first meeting yesterday, and I just wanted to talk a little bit about it. So if you are vegan and you are a woman or self-identify as a woman, you could get involved in the Vegan Lady Boss community and find out more at veganladyboss.com. Or you could email me info@realmeals.org, and I'll tell you more about it. But there were about 50 fantastic women there last night. And one of the things I loved is how Liz ran the meeting. So I like when things are really organized, and people tend to want to talk about themselves or their business. They get excited and things can go on, but she really kept things on schedule. So we each got to introduce ourselves for 20 seconds. That's fast. Can you try and introduce yourself in 20 seconds? It's a really good practice.
It was fast.
Yes. I decided after that I'm going to work on my 20-second introduction and time myself for next time, because there were a lot of things that I didn't get to say. I got to figure out how to say them in 20 seconds. There are so many wonderful different projects going on. How many Vegan Lady Boss meetings have you been to, Rachel?
I think I've been to, this is probably at least my third meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you were able to come.
Were they always like the one last night?
Pretty much. It was pretty much like the one last night.
What's exciting for me is I mentioned last night, and I've been talking about it for months now, is I recently celebrated my 30 years as being vegan.
Rachel. You were saying, and everyone was cheering.
Yes, everyone was cheering. Everybody cheered everybody. I mean, it was just so positive.
Yeah, great. Yeah. No, they've always been amazing. The thing that they didn't have this one was pizza from Screamers.
That's okay. I wasn't really there for the food, believe it or not.
Okay. Me neither.
And I don't want to knock this at all, but it was a potluck. And people can bring stuff. And they also had these sandwiches and skewers from Monk's Meat. And Monk's Meat is a Brooklyn company that makes seitan, which is a wheat meat. And I'm not really eating wheat. I tasted a little bit of it, and it was very tasty. It was a little salty for me. But I'm really glad they're doing what they're doing. And I know that it can appeal to many, many people. But I'm very happily settled in the Whole Foods minimally processed court, and
that's great.
Just give me salads and fruits and vegetables. Victoria Moran, who hosted the event, made a very nice salad. Thank you, Victoria.
Did you do her vegan street coaching academy?
I did not. But I'm glad she created it. You know, when you've been vegan for as long as I am. I don't need to go to the academy. But what I wanted to say was I went vegan in Israel. So it's interesting that you brought up Israel. And 30 years ago, I decided when I was working for an Israeli company in Israel, I was there for 3 months, and I decided that's where I was going to go vegan. I decided before.
That's amazing.
It was such a great place to go vegan because, number one, there's always hummus.
Love hummus.
There's always hummus. And there were just wonderful fresh vegetables. that had so much flavor. And I'm wondering, is that true today as well? Are they still great with vegetables over there? I haven't been
there in 30 years. No, yeah, it's really, the food is really, really special over there. And the hummus is, like, super incredible, like, really, just actually, like, so delicious. I miss it.
Yeah, there's just some great flavor. Well, you know, in the first part of this show, I was talking to a woman who's working on community food forests. And the key word there is community. And
right.
When I was in Israel 30 years ago, and I'm sure through generations things have changed, but there was a great feeling of community there. Now, I'm not saying that politically I'm pro or anti-Israel and Palestine.
No comment.
I want everybody to live happily together. And as humans, we all make big mistakes. So there's a lot of interesting dynamics there. But there is this community feeling of really loving the land. And you taste that in the vegetables and fruits.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, just from the kibbutz or whatever. So it's really, it's a lot smaller than here. Here we have, like, you know, all the, but there's some places around here too, where you can go to markets and stuff. I mean, I guess it's all about finding your local community markets.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's important, and it's great that we have them here in New York City.
So when you became vegan, did you go Whole Foods right away, or what was the reason?
No.
Why did you
No, it was vegan? It was a long journey. I mean, number one, we didn't have the internet. There was no internet. There were very few books, and I didn't know what I was doing, and it's been a long journey, and it's kind of happy sad. So back in the early 90s, I would get so excited when a natural food store, a health food store would have like a vegan ice cream pop or some kind of vegan cake or treat, because a treat back then was really a treat.
Yeah.
And now it really isn't anymore. You can get absolutely everything vegan that you have ever wanted, pretty much. And so that's good and bad.
Definitely. And I have so much vegan ice cream in my fridge.
I know. I don't eat it anymore. I don't eat that anymore. So, and, you know, I had a cancer experience 12 years ago. I had advanced ovarian cancer. And so I want to keep my immune system strong and healthy. And I just stay away from junk. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
no,
anyway, that's my story.
That's the way to go. Whole Foods is really special. It's delicious.
Yeah, and I don't want to knock people that are on their own journey, their own path. We're all individuals. We all have different choices.
Right.
We all have different life experiences. But, Rachel, we've come to the end of the hour, so
I
wanted to thank you for joining me. And,
thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for
talking
about the
Good luck tomorrow at V-Spot.
Tomorrow, are you coming, Karen? Oh, I just want you to come.
I want to come. I got to put it on my...
If you can come, I know.
Yes, I'm going to try. I'm going to try, yes.
And anyone else that wants to come, I'm just going to be talking more about the website. And essentially, you know, the future plans are to just connect more people with animals. I want to connect children in schools to animals by doing the local trips that I do, and also do, like, some international trips to connect, to do some more like adult trips, but like to different countries, different places. So
yeah, thank you. We have to bring ourselves back to what life is all about. And
yeah,
it's not just
connecting
about
to animals and
humans.
Nature.
But it is all about food.
Just,
so thank you for joining me today, Rachel. And it's all about food, and very, very best wishes with you and Animal Connection. And that brings us to the end of the program. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Karen Hartglass. This has been another hour talking about food on World Food Day. Find me at responsibleeatingandliving.com and have a delicious week.
Thank you.